You're listening to SBS News.
Craig, it's been a wonderful morning of football this morning. Obviously, Morocco springing a huge surprise. Obviously, it went all the way to penalties. Just how significant was that victory for Morocco today?
Well, you can see from the reaction of Moroccan fans and Moroccan diaspora all around the world, the exultation in getting through to the quarterfinal. It's really extraordinary. And it's apt, you know, given that it's the first Arabic World Cup for an Arabic nation to be making it through. Only the fourth African nation to make the quarterfinal. You know, this is a very significant moment. It's wonderful to see that, you know, an African coach has also got them there, because Africa, like many of the secondary areas of the world, if you like, often rely on getting foreign coaches in, and now they've been able to develop their own. So a brilliant performance, counter-attacking against Spain, extremely well organised, very strong with some brilliant key players, and the winning penalty, the courage and steel of nerve of Ashraf Hakimi to be able to just do a little panenka to get them through to the quarterfinal for the first time ever. I mean, that's just extraordinary.
And of course, Spain will be looking at thinking, this guy was born in Madrid for all sake. I mean, talk about the world game, and that just highlights it, doesn't it? But it really does. I mean, they must be thinking, geez, we let this guy go.
Yeah, look, there's many. I think there's 130-odd players in the World Cup who were born elsewhere and naturalised to play for one of the countries. Hakimi's one of those. Amazing, one of perhaps the best right-back in the world, certainly in the top three or four. And he demonstrated that in this World Cup. So Portugal will not be pleased at facing them. OK, it could have been worse. You know, one of the former World Cup winners, for example. But Morocco are on fire. They're confident. They're aggressive. They're technically strong. And they have the backing of the region and the full stadiums. So, and they feel as though they're on a ride of destiny. And teams who have that feeling can be very, very difficult to stop.
Now, we saw Portugal, they were outstanding this morning. And we saw a bit of the change in the guard. Ronaldo left on the bench and his replacement coming in and scoring a hat-trick. So really, that it's unbelievable to see. Is that really... have we just seen the change in the guard? Obviously, everyone's been talking about Ronaldo, but what happened today has really vindicated the coach's decision, isn't it?
So today, performance by Ramos, the young 21-year-old, to score a hat-trick, and Cristiano Ronaldo to be left on the bench by Fernando Santos is really, I think, the demarcation of the former Ronaldo and the future of Ronaldo, which really is just coming off the bench. You know, both at Manchester United and now with Portugal, it's clear that the coaches at both levels, club and international, have said, now you are an impact player coming off, and as desperate as Ronaldo is to continue to build on his legacy and to create more records and to match Eusebio, that's clear now that that's his position. It's time for the new generation to come through, and how Ramos did that. You know, he's come on and stepped into what is a massive shadow and gone and scored a hat-trick in what is an outstanding performance by Portugal across the board. The amount of talent that they have is amazing, and once Santos took Ronaldo out, who demands so much fealty, if you like, from all the players in his team, play to me, give opportunities to me, press when I want to press, and with him out, the oxygen for everyone else to thrive was so obvious. João Felix, brilliant. Fernandes has already been good. Bernardo Silva, incredible. Ramos did a great job. So Portugal are stronger without Ronaldo starting than they are otherwise.
So we've got that quarterfinal to look forward to. In terms of the others, all the other three quarterfinals, they've all made the World Cup final at some point before in their history. So the big guns are all there. Is there one that stands out for you? Which one are you most looking forward to out of the other three quarterfinals?
Most of the teams have amazing strengths, but also weaknesses. For instance, England have been astoundingly good in attack at many moments, but still, you know, there's question marks about the centre of defence against really quick players and combinations. For France, the France haven't exploded in terms of their performances yet. It's just that Mbappe has taken over and he now is the leader of that group for the first time. And so they all kind of have weaknesses. The only one that I think has been strong consistently, aside from when they rested nine players against Cameroon, is Brazil. Brazil have Thiago Silva, whilst he's 37, still very, very strong. They've got Militao, you know, central defender for Real Madrid. And they've got a very strong defence. And then you've got Alisson in goals. So this is a Brazil team. Everyone knows they've got enough talent going forward to break anyone open. But you've got to be strong defensively to win a World Cup. And at this point in time, no one's been able to test Brazil enough to question their favouritism tag.
Now, of course, the other quarterfinal, Netherlands looking for revenge for 78 against Argentina. In terms of, they've kind of flown under the radar. Could the Dutch finally crack this big one? Could they actually get to that World Cup trophy? Do you believe they've got it in their squad to do that?
The Dutch can definitely get past Argentina and avenge a 1978 final. The reason being is because Argentina are Messi plus 10. Because Lautaro Martinez hasn't done much in this tournament. You know, they've got wing-backs who aren't of the quality in terms of scoring goals or creation as some of the others in the tournament. They've got a functional midfield which is providing opportunities for him. Enzo Fernandez, okay, has come up and risen a little bit. But they don't have the quality in attack around Messi that other teams have. And that shows how good he is. That they're still one of the favourites for this World Cup because everyone knows that all he needs is a team around him capable of finishing what he creates or putting him in positions where he'll finish it. And they're unique in that respect in this World Cup. Everyone else has got a bunch of weapons, a bunch of threats. And so it's really about whether Messi can do it again and again and again. You know, and he's got three more games to do what he's done against Mexico, against Australia. He can do it. I'd love to see him do it, but Netherlands are a team that are tactically strong enough to perhaps be able to stop it.
With a wily old Dutch coach behind him, no team's won the World Cup with a coach born outside the country. That's obviously a good indicator. They may have that kind of cohesion that you need to get across the line. Do you think they can do it, the Dutch? I've just got a kind of sense that they've been so quiet. Remember we talked about Gakpo, we know about Dumfries, has done well on the right. Can they do it?
Every team, aside from Morocco, in the round of 16 can win the tournament because there's still injuries to come. You know, there's still players who, you know, may not be able to stand up to both the physical load, because this World Cup is very constricted, and also to the pressure, as you've seen in a number of the penalty shootouts, including Spain. So it's very difficult to call from here. The most rounded team is Brazil. Cody Gakpo's rise in this tournament has been extremely important because otherwise Netherlands don't have a recognised top-level goal scorer in their front line. And so they needed someone to explode in this tournament. He's done it, and therefore that means that they are a genuine threat to win this.
And one final question. Look at the tournament overall. We've got to the pointy end now. Do you think there's any more curly things that could happen in terms of how the conditions could affect the teams, or you know, the fact that everything's been so kind of confined and so constricted in terms of, you mentioned the injury situation, could this be the most unusual World Cup? We could see something crazy happening, like a Morocco coming through due to this kind of everything's being so unusual.
Morocco, like Turkey in 2002, certainly have the possibility of making the semi-final, that's for sure, because now, you know, you're 90 or 120 minutes away from it. If it goes to penalties, anything's possible. You saw their amazing penalties. So they'll try and keep tight and get it all the way, even if it goes to extra time, that's for sure. So that could potentially happen. But one of the big guns is going to win it, because when you're talking about, you know, three more games, you need the level of quality to be able to find the solutions over that course of, you know, of three matches. And to do that, you need a depth of quality. So one of the big ones is going to win. From my perspective, I would love to see it go back to South America. And if that was going to happen, I love Brazil, but I'd love Messi to, you know, step out of the shadow of Maradona. If not, I want a new winner. And in that respect, it really has to be Netherlands. Because they've had three finals. They deserve a World Cup in history for their contribution to the beautiful side of the game. But I'll tell you what, it's very hard to call. England can win this. England are in their best position that I've seen them in the 20 years I've been doing World Cups. This is an exceptionally good team. They demonstrated in their last game against Senegal a level of attacking quality, speed, precision, that we haven't seen from England for a very long time. And they're all playing at the very highest level, Champions League, winning things, playing in finals. And you've got young players coming through. You know, Jude Bellingham, amazing. Mbappe, incredible. You've got Joao Felix. There's a lot to love about this World Cup, and it's nice to have an underdog, if you like, a new team come through into the quarterfinals. But this, when we get to the World Cup final, it's going to be two of the big boys.